welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam,
exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dekdar.
And hello again, and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is September the 3rd of the year of our Lord, 2022. And this is Usama Dekdar Puzio from the state of Missouri. And with me tonight, Christy from Mississippi and Brother Paul from New York. And hello to both of you, and how are you guys doing?
Enjoying a nice, cooler day. It's been in the high 80s here.
Good, good, good. Christy, how's the weather in Mississippi?
Well, you know, I think we've had a wonderful season because of the lack of hurricanes. It is a blessing, an answer to prayers. But we have had a lot of rain. But I'll tell you, there's the most beautiful growth and flowers and things still blooming at this time of year. So. It's beautiful.
Good, good, good. I enjoyed last week. I have some family and friends visiting with us. That's maybe some of you saw Sister Lynn was with us with her beautiful daughter. And it's sad now because our home is empty. It's like empty nest again. Everybody's gone. So I'm trying to get Brother Paul, I don't know, 7-8 grand to ask him if he can come spend a week with me. But he wants more money. I don't know how. What can I get my Brother Paul? $7,000, that's all I can give you for a week, man. It's $1,000 a day. Christy would like to come for $200 a day. When you
for a week.
Oh, yeah. You see, Christy wanted to come for $200 a week. I might offer you $7,000 and we're going to come. Anyway, but seriously, the invitation is open for both of you. Would love to see you here to visit. It's a beautiful weather today. It was rainy a little bit and the temperature dropped amazingly. Literally, yesterday I was in my 80s right now. Here in where I am, it's actually 63 degrees. And the expectation is going to drop the night to 48 degrees. I never have 48 in the month of September, but hey, maybe we're going to get early winter tonight because it's not global cooling, it's global heating. It's not global heating, it's global cooling. What do you call it? Climate change.
Climate change.
Exactly. That is the best title you can give because you never know what's coming tomorrow. And for those who say it is this or that, they're stupid here, they're stupid there because we never know what tomorrow will bring to us. But God is good. I enjoyed the weather today. It was good. I said goodbye to all my family and friends. Take everybody to Boston Train Airport. And that's it. So that's the end of the story. So back again to normal.
So now you're lonely.
Go ahead, Christy.
So now you're lonely.
Not really, of course.
Oh, good.
Next week I'm going to be with Brian House, with Mike Landolf TV for some live TV shows. I'm going to be recording some new series, TV
awesome.
Ministry. And then I'm going to be headed to Wisconsin and Minnesota. And then I'm coming down to Louisiana and Mississippi. And then I'm going to be heading to the East Coast. So. And then I'm going down to Florida. It's like literally the last 3 months coming up here. I have no idea what's going on. I maybe have to make a trip to Florida this week for something serious. I maybe have to do. We'll see what we're going to do. So super, super busy anyway. So I know you guys have some articles and some material you want to cover. And then we're going to go to our new study. And we're talking about the Ten Commandments according to the Quran. The Ten Commandments. According to the Quran, we're going to learn a lot in the next broadcast. That's tonight and some of the follow-up. I don't know how long it's going to take us to cover that series. But we're going to learn about, do really Muslim people believe in Moses? Do really Muslim people believe in the Torah? Is that a great evidence that they are really worshiping the true God, the God of the Bible? Or is all just, what do you call it, hogwash, propaganda, lies, deception? So. Paul, Christy, whatever you want to talk about in the next half hour or so, let's cover some of the material, things happening in America around the world in the last week.
You got something?
Go ahead,
I can go. Okay, well, I had a couple of articles that I thought were very interesting. They were posted on the last day of August and the first of September. And the first one says that in Uganda, three former imams face death threats after conversion to Christianity. And I thought that was really important because, Usama, you've always talked about that the more you learn about Quran and the more you learn about Islam and the more that you study it, there are a lot of people who are imams who have left Islam. Is that right?
We got even some Egyptian muftis, the head of the mosque. Imagine if the Pope of the Catholic Church had become something else. That's exactly what we have. We got muftis of Egypt, the top of the Muslim world in Egypt, converting to Christianity. He, his wife and his daughter, obviously they're living in fear in Germany,
yes,
saving for their life. So it's not, you see, you can have any minister, Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Orthodox, becoming a Muslim. No big deal. They were not true believers to start with, because if they are with us, they cannot be against us. Jesus taught us. This is a fact. And no, I never heard of some Muslim, some Christian, convert Islam, and the following week or the following month, some of his family or some of his church or some of his community shot him down and killed him or beheaded him. We don't do that in Christianity.
Yeah.
We don't kill people or leave in Christianity. Especially when we know they never left Christianity because they were not Christians.
Yes, that's the truth.
But the opposite is true. When a Muslim leaves Islam, it doesn't matter. If he's a mufti, if he's an imam in a mosque, or if he's a sheikh, or if he's just a member, or somebody who's, whatever job he's doing. When a Muslim leaves Islam, the whole Islamic world will chaos, and here we go, we have to kill him. And they do kill many Muslims who convert to Christ. So here we go, three imams becoming a Christian, and obviously, how in the world do you allow that? And it is fact. But I believe Muslims are Muslims because they do not know Islam. You know Islam, you leave Islam. It is much easier, much logical, much common sense for a Muslim to become an atheist after he or she knows Islam than to continue to be an Islam. Atheist. You don't believe in anything. Because Islam will lead you to believe in nothing, as we're going to see in our study. So,
yeah, these imams are now being, and their families, are being protected under International Christian Concerns, an organization that's helping to provide food and giving them a different identity and withholding that information to keep their security. So another point about, you know, sometimes people don't understand, Usama, why, as a ministry trying to reach Muslims for Christ, why we talk so much about what Islam teaches. But that is a key, as you have discovered, in helping them to leave Islam, is giving them the true information about what Islam is. So I wanted to share that article.
If you do not know your laws, you will never search for the truth. You will never search for another road. If you think you're on the right track, why do you want to leave it and search for another track when your track told you that all other tracks are wrong? Now, when you know your track and you find yourself, you're truly lost, you're naked, you're thirsty, you're hungry, you are without hope, then say, wait a minute, why am I walking in that road? So my first goal in our ministry, it is to teach Muslims Islam. And believe me, as we have seen in the last couple of broadcasts or three, not only Americans do not know what Islam is, with this comedy video, we cover some part of it, we even finish the whole thing. But guess what? The same Muslims who are teaching the American about Islam, they themselves do not know Islam.
Yeah.
And I would challenge Muslims, any college, any place in America, and I will go and I will give them the easy quiz, ABC of Islam. True and false questions. And I guarantee you, none of them are going to pass the test. They know nothing about Allah. They know nothing about Muhammad. They know nothing about the Quran or Islam. That's why they're Muslim. And the proof is, here we go, Muslim imam, leave in Islam and become Christian.
Awesome. I wanted to share one more story real quick, Paul. A Christian radio station in Ukraine has been forced out by Zelensky's anti-Russian language law. So there has been a Christian radio station ministering to Russians in Ukraine. As we know, we've heard these various stories about what's going on there, that the Christians and the Jewish people have been under severe pressure and persecution from the Iranian military. So now they've shut down.
Ukrainian.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Ukrainian military. And now we're seeing that this radio station has had to relocate in Hungary because they have been forced out by the Ukrainian president, Zelensky. So just remember that there are so many kinds of problems that are going on, and we really don't know the full truth. I think you can't really rely anymore on the media to tell you what's actually going on. And maybe we haven't been able to rely on them as being truthful or knowledgeable for many years. But right now, our prayers are important because God does know what's going on. And I'm thankful that there are people who are getting the truth out. But we, like again, we need to pray for all Christians because this is a terrible time for Christian persecution around the world.
If we can investigate why this Christian station was forced out of Ukraine, I promise you, maybe we'll have the same information which I collect from some people who are in Ukraine and others who live in America who have family in Ukraine. That's war in Ukraine. It's not the war between Russia and Ukraine. It's between Muslims and Ukrainians. I know this for a fact.
Yes.
I'm not making this up. I know this for a fact as I'm talking to both of you right now and all our wonderful audience that the Muslim of Syria, the Muslim of Afghanistan, and the Muslim of some other countries in Russia are shouting Allahu Akbar. You could not find one video on any station in America where the fighters in Ukraine are shouting Allahu Akbar as they're taking down and bombing many cities in Ukraine. Add to that, that they are kidnapping the women and they're raping them in the Muhammad style, in the Islamic style, as they are concubines and slaves. That's exactly what the Muslims are doing in Ukraine. Russians are super stupid to allow Muslims to be covered under with their umbrella to go in war against the Ukrainians and doing that to them, killing their men, raping the women. It reminds me exactly of how ISIS did it just 8-9 years ago. It reminds me exactly of how Muhammad did it 1,400 years ago. This is Islam 101. I mean, literally, 101. It's just, I'm not making some ridiculous statement here. This is exactly what's happening. Maybe that Christian station talked about that, and that's why they forced them out.
Yeah, you know, the other factor here is, I just wanted to mention this, is we've had reports of many of the Ukrainian military being Nazis and affiliating with the Nazis. So it's important for people to understand Muslims and the Nazis have no problem with each other. The Muslims admired Hitler and the Nazis. They just didn't feel like they killed enough Jewish people. I mean, I don't want to exaggerate, but they have a lot in common. They're enemy. And you know what? This shows you that the enemy of God becomes the enemy of his people. So we need to keep that in mind. Again, people are persecuted because...
I just want to point out that when this conflict started, that the Muslims were saying it didn't matter which side you got to fight for, as long as you were killing infidels, that's all that really mattered.
Exactly. My friend said in Wisconsin, a good friend of mine, Mrs. Wolf, she said, there's only two teams, Team Jesus and Team Satan.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what name you put under the Satan. It is Team Satan. So if you are not for Christ, you are for the devil. It doesn't matter what name. You can call yourself Russian, Chinese, Syrian, Saudi, Egyptian, I don't care what country, what religion you believe in, Buddha, agnostic, whatever. If you are not belong to Jesus, you belong to the devil. In the end, there's two places to go to, heaven through Jesus Christ or hell through Satan.
I have I have a few stories, and one of them I'm just going to put in the chat room. I just kind of remind, it's not a surprise, but it's, no matter how many times I read one of these articles about a Muslim praising Hitler, it always seems to shock me. It just kind of fits with what's going on, what we just talked about. This comes from Jewish News Syndicate. Iranian wrestling champion praises Adolf Hitler as his inspiration. This is Greco-Roman wrestling champion Muhammad Ali Jarai called Hitler an inspirational leader in a recent interview at a sports outlet. The Iran International News Organization reported that Greco-Roman wrestler Muhammad Jarai, who finished in fifth place at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, cited Hitler as well as boxing legend Muhammad Ali as his inspiration. And I think about that. I mean,
it's amazing. He is Hitler and Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, a man who literally was so stupid to become a Muslim, know nothing about the real Islam. He's a nation of Islam. He knows nothing about Islam. I mean, I don't want to get in detail, but a simple fact is he does not believe in the virgin birth because he thought, according to the nation of Islam, Jesus is not a child of a virgin birth. Not realizing the Quran, chapter 3 and chapter 19, teaches the virgin birth. That's how stupid Muhammad Ali was. He believed in something he called Islam, which is not Islam. And who is Hitler? The one who is killing the Jews. That makes sense. Makes sense.
And it's the other article I think that's pretty important, which I found, again, this one's from Saudi Arabia. I'm putting that in the chat room. This one... it goes with everything I learned about the concept of orphans in Islam, sadly. And what really got me about this article is NBC News covered it. They usually hide stuff that's to do with Islam. It's titled Saudi Arabia Investigates Video of Men Attacking Orphaned Women and Girls. It's by Layla Sakur. Came out today. Authorities in Saudi Arabia have launched an investigation into a video that showed a group of men beating women with belts and dragging them by their hair at a residential facility. Footage, which began circulating Wednesday, showed a group of men, some of whom appear to be in uniform, chasing women into the courtyard of the facility in the southwestern Aksaray region of the country. Several points, men can be seen grabbing women by their hair before their feet and hands are forcibly cuffed. And these people, a group or a residential facility where orphaned girls and women, I mean, their husbands died or they've been abandoned.
Where is this taking place? Is it in Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
Who did the report? Paul, I missed that.
NBC News.
Oh, wow.
What is wrong with NBC News?
Wow. They're telling you something about Islam that's bad? Wow.
But you know what's the problem? It doesn't matter really what you hear about Islam from any of these liberal stations, even Fox News. Fox News shocked me once in a while to talk about things happening in the Muslim world. But the problem is they don't connect it with Islam.
I know.
Yeah.
The radicals. The culture.
They all of that out. You're exactly right.
Yes.
Yeah. So don't get excited so much for the part. NBC News tell the truth about women treatment in Saudi Arabia. No.
Well, they tell them the truth, but they won't connect it to Islam. You're 100%.
Women treatment in Islam. Woman treatment according to the word of Allah and the Quran and the teacher Muhammad Ali. Now we get this. Anyway, any other story, brother?
I have one from Uttar Pradesh, and that one is also about the treatment of women. Uttar Pradesh is part of India, and let me just throw that in the chat room. And this woman is being divorced because she served a man a cold dinner.
Whoa, my word. How in the world did she do that? Is she out of her mind?
Well, it's hot.
No, it was cold food.
But it was a hot day. So insane.
I know... I laugh at this because it's just ridiculous. I mean, this guy utters that talak, talak, talak phrase because he didn't like the food. Well, get up and get it yourself.
You've talked about this, so Usama, that's perfectly good ground for a divorce.
It's called a wife in Islam. That's a slave. You buy her. She will serve you the way you exactly want it to be served. Not just food. Anything. I mean, the Muhammad did not leave a section about women's life unless he covered it within Sharia. If a man want to have sex with his wife, she have a headache. She's fired. She's, the angel of Allah will curse her all night long. So it's not just serving good food. Even if she's dying and you want to make love to her, surely she'll be in his bed. So it's abuse, man. You own a slave. You don't have a wife. You own a slave. No more or less. I mean, you know what is at my hand here? This is called napkin. You know what napkin is, okay? Some Muslim men will divorce the wife because he could not wash the napkin. I mean, any excuse is a good excuse.
Yeah.
Any excuse is a good. Too much salt, not enough pepper, the food was not hot enough, the tea did not have enough sugar, you didn't put enough mint, you did not, you did something wrong, you looked at a guy, anything. I can give you a 10,000 excuse for why a Muslim man has the right to beat his wife. So, life is good. Any other story, Christy or Paul?
Did you have anything else?
Go
I'm going to look. I have one more, I think. Then.
Go ahead, go
hold
ahead.
On here. Just one second. Set it aside for a minute. The continued, here's what is being said about Nigeria now, that there's a sustained campaign in Nigeria to wipe out Christianity. I'm really sad to hear this because I know several Nigerian Christians, but they're saying the government is doing nothing to stop it. And a Christian woman was murdered while cleaning the church that she attends. So we are seeing, again, the increase, even in these countries where there has been in the past problems with Muslims killing Christians. It just continues to escalate as we speak. Because one of the things you taught me, Usama, years ago, is that the United States of America has been a stopgap in the treatment of Christians in other countries because it was always perceived that a strong American government would intervene on the part of people who were being mistreated. And that when we have a weak government, or as when Barack Hussein Obama was president, we had a Muslim president, the persecution against Christians all over the world goes up. And I just thought you might want to comment on that, Usama.
It is reality. When we have a weak president, a Democrat in the White House, Muslims will ride the Christian in the Muslim world as donkeys or camels. It's reality. Don't forget that the United States of America sent lots of aid. They call it foreign aid. I call it jizya to all of these Muslim countries. There's not a Muslim country in the world that don't get money from America.
That's right.
We have so much power here, but instead, if we do what is right to protect our brothers and sisters in the Muslim world, not America, the United States of America church, the believers in America, we should have a voice. I challenge you to find me some Muslim that hurt in America, and the Muslim world will not stand up and riot demanding that whoever harmed that Muslim person in America be punished. They would do it. They will be protesting all over America. I have not yet in America seen a protest against the strength or the killing or the burning or the kidnapping or the raping of Christians in the Muslim world. I never seen a Christian church went out to riot in Washington, D.C. Have you? Remind me, when did it happen?
Never happened to someone.
Why we don't do it? We can force or Biden or anybody in the White House to do what is right for our Christian brothers and sisters in the Muslim world. But we don't want to do that. Why? Because then we're going to make ourselves involved politically. Then we're going to look like an anti-Muslim or Islamophobic or whatever type of people are going to give on us. So keep your mouth shut, church in America. And trust me, what you plan today, you're going to harvest tomorrow. I guarantee you the day will come and killing churches in America. We'll be killing Christian men in America. We'll be raping Christian women in America, because that's exactly what we're planting right now. The sin of silence. Is that how you say it, Christy?
Yes, exactly.
The sin of silence. You zip it here, tomorrow will happen to you.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I have not seen yet a Baptist, a Catholic, a Presbyterian, a Lutheran, those who speak in tongues, those who walk on foot, those who crawl on like a whatever. There's no Christian in America who are organized, protest against the persecution of Christian in planet Earth, especially in the Muslim world. We got Christian in America speaking against the persecution of Muslims in China. Are you hearing me? Gay and lesbian churches in America are protesting the persecution of Muslims in China.
Yeah.
But not one of them spoke about the persecution of Christians in China, which lasted hundreds of years. What are we doing? Don't worry. Here's my prediction. You don't have to do anything about it, because it's happening to a city near you, to Christians near you, here in America. Just hold on to your thoughts. Don't do anything about it. And just, just pray. Yeah, just pray. Ah, God help us. I don't want to get excited about it. Just we'll let it go. Anything else, Brother Paul?
That's it for today for me.
I want to talk a little bit politically here, and I know maybe you guys don't want to talk about politics, but I love talking about politics. I think this speech of this garbage of Biden, the last one he had, I did not see the whole speech. I could not see it. I could not go and watch it. So I waited to hear about it on Fox News. And man, when they put the screen, he walked into the pulpit, and this red dark behind looked like a demonic spirit, and the blue, and two Marines standing there, and the Marine flag, I believe, the United States of America flag, and I said, what is sick with this picture? I haven't even heard a word, Christy. I didn't know what he said. He maybe said, God bless America, forgive me, Lord Jesus, for my sin, and save this country, and we're going to do what is right, we're going to be united. I didn't hear a word. I just looked at the rock in the dark, demonic, red and blue, and whatever it is, the station.
It was black, red and black.
And I'm like, I said, what happened to America? I'm not kidding. I got goosebumps on my arm and my neck. I said, what is that? That's demonic. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, Satan. Because I saw Satan walk into that book. And then when you hear his speech, oh, Lord. It is exactly the opposite of what he said early when he had his first speech. It's like, that guy, they give him a bill, something he drink or some medicine or injection, and make him something completely different than what he was before. And then when this medicine, as was mentioned earlier, cool off and he calmed down, he'd go back to what he used to be. It is exactly, listen carefully now, I'm not making this up, it's exactly what my both eyes seen when people used to come to our church in Egypt and my mama used to pray over them. When the demons come on them, the two different prisons, two completely different prisons, then that's when they walk in. And praise God, when my mama cast these demons in the name of Jesus Christ, the people leave the church with a smile on their face. That is the picture of the Democrat Party and the leaders of the Democrat Party of this country. They hate America. They know what is to divide and win, divide and conquer. That's exactly what they do. They hate our Constitution. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate Christianity. They hate, they are the cult of hate. They hate life. They hate morality. They're immoral. They're destroying this country because I deeply believe in my heart they're demon-possessed. They're not normal.
I agree.
They needed somebody to pray over them and cast the demons of hell out of them, or cast them out of their office so we can have this country back. It was never been to Jesus, by the way. It was in the hand of wishy-washy people. Now this on the, but now it got real worse. It's like demons are full control of the country. And God help us in the next 2 months. I don't know where we're going from here. Are we going to have victory in November, or is it going to be another victory for the Democrats?
Well,
I can't imagine that in the midterm election, and here we go, Democrats win more seats in Senate and Congress. It's going to happen in this country. I know it's going to happen.
If they cheat, you know, if they cheat. But I wanted to mention something that Trump said tonight, and I've never heard him say this to this degree. He said, I'm going to tell you, it is so bad and worse even than I predicted. And he said, if we don't turn it around now, it may not ever be able to be turned around. I've never heard Trump talk like that, but he was very plain spoken and very realistic. And I'm glad he said that, because he does talk about a positive future for America. But he said that. He said, if we don't do this now, if we don't stop it now, we may never be able to stop it.
I just want to let you know how accurate this description is. With Biden's speech,
mm-hmm.
even CNN had a problem with how demonic it was.
Yeah.
Let me show you what they did halfway through his speech. This kind of was a mind number for me when I saw this. All right, you go halfway through the speech, they turn the red and black background into pink.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because it was red, blood red.
Yeah, because I'm at the 12, I'm at about 12-minute mark of this
24-minute speech. It was too much for CNN.
Yeah. All I was expecting when I saw the first picture is I just see smoke coming out and the devil. That's exactly what was missing. The devil laughter and smoke and fire come out of the speech.
Well, you know, do you remember when Hillary was running and she made her speech and she literally made it in the middle of flames? There, God is allowing this to be shown.
I believe Hillary Clinton, from some of the videos we saw when she was running against Mr. Trump, when she had this seizure, that woman is demon-possessed.
Oh, yeah. I don't have any doubt of it.
I've seen enough demon-possessed people. It was not sickness. If it was sickness, it should be worse now. If it was sickness, after 5, 7, 8 years, you get more sick, you get more seizures, you get more. No, it's demon possessed. Guys, I know what demon possessed is. People be normal, talking with you, and somebody mentions the name Jesus. And you fall on the ground, and you think it's seizure. It's not seizure, it's demonic spirits.
You saw my, I know. I've dealt with demon possessed people a number of times, and it's real. People don't want to think about that, but it is an explanation for some of the things that we're seeing that are so dramatically evident that the people who are saying these wicked, ridiculous things, they really believe it, or they seem to truly believe it, and that is that is a good indication. And
the amount of hatred these Democrats have for our Constitution, the amount of hatred these Democrats have for our early fathers, the amount of hatred that these Democrats have against Jesus and life and every godly thing, the amount of hatred these Democrats are living by, it could not come except from one source. It's called the devil. They are demonic.
I want to bring up this piece that was just said in the chat room. By Celestial Knight 23, Osama incites bigotry and hate against Muslims. Your focus should actually be saving Christianity from dying in America, which it currently is. Your priorities are confused. Please wake up.
I incite bigotry and hate against Muslims. What a stupid person who wrote that. I never said let's hate the Muslim people. If you think, is that the lady or a man? Judy, is a man or a woman?
It's a woman.
No, Judy's not the person who wrote it. This person's writing to Judy. It's a Celestial Knight. It sounds like a guy.
Yeah, it could be
hearing.
A guy. Yeah.
If that guy or that lady would love for some Muslim to kill him and rape his wife, let's praise Allah and Muhammad. I am against the killing of Christians and the raping of the wife and the little girl. If that's okay with you, idiot, then we teach AIDS in this place. I love Muslim people. I've been ministering to Muslim people now for literally 20 years, full time, you stupid idiot, because I want them out of the savage cult of Islam for the love of God to them and for the love of the Christian who is going to be raped and killed by them. Maybe you need to read the Quran, sir. Grab a Quran, sir, or map and read it. Maybe you need to learn about Muhammad, the child molester, the sex offender, the prophet pretender, the womanizer, the adulterer, the thief, the thug, the terrorist, the savage Muhammad. Maybe if you learn a little bit about Muhammad, you would join my cult to teach the truth about the savage cult of Islam. But the problem is, people like that, they are A, Muslim, pretending to be non-Muslim, B, the stupid American who know nothing about Islam. That's the only two options. You're stupid about Islam, or you're a Muslim pretend to be an American. God help us. I never thought hate towards Muslims. I love Muslim people. We are leading Muslims out of Islam to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ because we're teaching the truth about how garbage Islam is, how savage Islam is. Just read the Quran, you idiot. Read that book. Learn about the teacher Muhammad. I might as well. Go ahead. Read. Let me give you another good book here.
I'm gonna throw it out there. Hey, if you really believe your Quran is clear, yes.
There are lines of the traveler. It's in English for you if you don't speak Arabic. And learn the truth about Islam. Then you say, thank you, Salman. May I have your hand to kiss it? May I have your feet to kiss it? And I said, no, you don't have to.
Hey.
Just work hard with me.
I want to mention something here, Paul. Celestial Knight's last comment is, I have read the Quran and memorized many parts of it. You lie against God's word. So we're dealing with a Muslim. Yes, we're dealing with a Muslim, I quite
believe. Do me a favor, Paul. Before we get to our study, do me a favor. Let's go to chapter 9.
Chapter 9, okay.
Let's read verse 5. Just one verse.
Oh, right there.
If we have time, let's read the entire chapter. We can go to 8 and 9.
So when the forbidden months are past, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and take them as captives, and besiege them, and lay wait for them, with every kind of ambush. So if they repent and perform the prayer and give the legal alms, so leave their way free. Surely Allah is forgiving and merciful.
I think our friends don't have logic or common sense. So I'm going to give it to you in simple three words. Allah said, kill the Christians and the Jews, take their wives and daughters as concubines and slaves, as Muhammad did in Quran chapter 33, verses 26 and 27 with Bani Quraiza. Three is they convert Islam and do the good prayer, the Muslim prayer, without even knowing what they're saying, and give the zakat, then let them free. Which one of these three options do you think teach love and peace, you idiot? Anyway, our time is up. Let me take a break, and we'll come back. Lord's willing, we're going
to
go
on. Oh, wait. You need to check
these
comments out.
Verse 13.
Yeah.
What?
Do we want to do that, Susama?
What verse?
He wants to read till verse 13.
Oh, no, I will read from 1 to 13. Let me take the break, and I'll come back.
All right.
From 1 to 13.
There we go.
From 1 to 13.
For the last 1,400 years, Muslims worldwide have considered only one book to be the perfect, complete, and inspired word of Allah, the Quran. In fact, Muhammad claimed that his only miracle was the Quran itself. But is it a clear miracle of God, or is it just a confusing deception of man?
Over and over, Allah states through his prophet in the Quran that the Quran is a clear book, a very clear revelation, easy to understand. But is this true? Can a Muslim or any reader who reads the Quran understand the truth about subject as the creation, the life of the Prophet, or even the life of Jesus?
Scattered throughout the Quran, Muhammad records bits and pieces of information about famous biblical characters such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary, contradicting the Bible and even contradicting itself.
10 years ago, the Lord put on my heart to write a book about exposing the lies and the errors of the Quran. But then we have faced another problem. All current English translations are corrupted. The English translators who translated the Quran to the English language hide many of the errors and the mistakes of the Quran from the English world. Then we spend several years to produce an accurate, modern English translation of the Quran. And with that completed, we then begin production and have now finished our latest project, exposing the truth about the Quran.
In this powerful new two-volume set, you will discover one of the most thorough and comprehensive critiques of the Quran available in print. First, all of the references to important topics such as creation and the stories of the prophets scattered throughout the Quran are collected together into one place. Next, we examine the writings of the most respected Muslim scholars as they seek to understand these confusing and contradictory passages. Then, we demonstrate that Muslim scholars were forced to abandon the Quran and that they had to turn to the Bible for the true and authentic histories of these events in their futile attempt to reconcile the two. Finally, this comprehensive two-volume set proves that Muhammad contradicted the Bible and that the Quran repeatedly contradicts itself as it discusses these important issues.
It's time for the West to know the truth about Islam, to know the truth about its so-called prophet Muhammad. The Bible clearly teaches, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must know and expose the darkness, the dangers, and the deception of Islam, not only to protect ourselves, but to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Muslims whom we love.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Individual copy and case pricing is available.
Welcome back. We're glad to have you with us. We got some good Muslim scholar here who wanted to read verse 13 of Quran chapter 9. And I'll do my favor. We'll start from verse 1.
Okay. Verse 1? All right. Allah and his messenger are innocent from the polytheists with whom you have a covenant.
Wait a minute. Where is in the name of Allah the merciful, the merciful? Don't you know that when you read the Quran, you have to read before any chapter in the name of Allah the merciful, the merciful? Can you read from the beginning, please? One more time.
Allah and his messenger
Where is in the name of Allah the merciful, the merciful? What is wrong with you, man? Don't you know how to say the word of Allah in the Quran?
Oh, there's no mercy. There's no mercy in here.
There's no mercy. What happened to that verse, man? This is a very important opening statement. It's mentioned in every chapter in the Quran, brother. You have to say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and then you start reading the Quran. Why did you not read it, Paul?
So we gotta read deceitfully, is that it?
So what we have here, Quran chapter 9, Allah abrogated his own character, his own distribute as the God of mercy. Small g, God of mercy, is no longer merciful. That statement has been abrogated. So what we read in verse 1?
Allah and his messenger are innocent from the polytheists with whom you have a covenant.
You mean Allah and Muhammad broke the covenant? You see, you don't read Quran chapter 9 to verse 13. You start chapter 9 to verse 1. What happened to Muhammad and Allah who made many covenants with all the Jews and all the Christians and all the believers as they even praised their God? What happened to that God? He's no longer weak. He made these covenants with all of these infidels when he was weak. Now he's strong. Now Muhammad has 10,000 men who love death more than anybody loved life. So now Allah abrogates his character as a merciful, and now Allah is breaking the covenant he had with all the people who live in the Saudi Arabia. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. I love it when our Muslims want to go to verse 13 because these people were bad. Therefore, Muhammad had the right to kill them. Your Allah became strong. The weak Allah became strong. He's no longer merciful. Kiss the early covenant goodbye. Who broke the covenant? Allah. I challenge that Muslim gentleman here or lady who is talking to us right now to come to the show. And we will post the post. Go ahead, post the link for the show for all of them.
Okay.
Let him come and tell me what people who killed a Muslim, of all the Muslims who lived in Mecca for 13 years, give me a name of a Muslim man who was killed by the infidels, Jews, Christians, other worshippers, in 13 years, while Muhammad still going to the Kaaba, seeing all these 360 gods, and he didn't say anything about it. Give me the link, Paul.
I'm doing that right now.
Come help me out. You show me I can name for you the Christian who were killed in Egypt today. I can give you the name of the Christian killed in Sudan today. I can give you the name of the Christian who killed in the 57 Muslim country every week. Just call me and I'll give you the name. And give me the name of the Christian who killed a Muslim in any of these countries. It's amazing. We found a garbage verses of the Quran. I'm going to say the reason they killed because
he's given straight to verse 13.
I'm talking about 13 years.
Yeah.
13 years. Come on up, my friend. You got the link, Paul?
Yeah, he's got it.
All right. Come on up.
About we'll see if he's not a coward like the average keyboard jihadi.
Give me the name of a Muslim man who was killed by some infidel, some wacko stupid Christian, or some wacko stupid Jew, or some wacko stupid idol worshiper who killed one of Muhammad's followers in the first 13 years while Muhammad lived in Mecca.
We'll see. Come on, Celestial Knight. Don't be your average cowardly Muslim who won't stand up for what he believes if you're just going to be there.
Question number one. Question number two. You know what? I don't think it's going to come, man. I don't think it's going to come.
We want to read verse 2 or?
No. There's no reason to read if it's not going to come to us.
Okay. We'll give him.
Let's see.
If he's just a coward.
It is 9:46. We'll go until 10:46. How about that? 10:46, we're going to change the subject.
10:46.
Okay. 10:46. Where did the early people who left Mecca went to? The first one who immigrated from Mecca. Where did they went to? That's a good question here. Where did they went? The first Muslim believer who escaped Mecca didn't go to Medina, which is used to be a Jewish community by the name of but they went to another country. Can you give me the name?
Well, he said he's providing little excuses now. I'm in a family gathering. I'm not in a position to talk out loud. Okay. What? Yeah. Okay. You're. Yeah. You gotta make excuses, you little cowardly guy.
What did he say? I can't read both.
It says I'm at a family gathering right now. I'm not in a position to talk out loud. You are the host. I'm only asking. Okay. You take responsibility for accurately. You coward. You can't even come on. I'm sorry.
All right. Kiss him goodbye. Kiss him goodbye.
All right.
Let's go back to our side. Go ahead, Brother Paul. Thanks, Mr. Muslim. When you know your Quran, when you know your Islam, come back. Yes, go start. You have a whole week between here and next Saturday. Come back next Saturday, and we're going to have a nice talk with you. We're going to teach you your Islam. We're going to teach Quran chapter 9. All right. The Ten Commandments according to the Quran. It sounds like an oxymoron title, man. Can you come up with a better title? What do you mean, Ten Commandments in the Quran?
Are they even in there?
Let me look about the Ten Commandments. Here is the first chapter, Al-Fatiha. And here's the last chapter. It's called the people. The people. Between Al-Fatiha and the people, 114 chapters, I did not see one commandment, not 10, one. And here's the truth, Christy. Muslims in America claim, they claim that we believe in Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. Good. And we believe in the Torah. Good. Which Torah? The original one, not the corrupt one you have right now, the original one. Okay. And we believe in Prophet Isa. Who is Isa? Oh, Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know Arabic. I don't know that Isa is the wrong name, but that's okay. Isa, yes. And we believe in the teaching of Prophet Isa. Okay. So, how much do Muslims know about Moses? Nothing. And let me say it again. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Can you write that word for the people in the chat room? Muslims know nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G about Moses. And they know nothing about the Torah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read with them, as you're going to read it here, just a few of the verses of the Torah. And we're surprised and discover that these Ten Commandments, few verses of the Torah, guess what? It's not part of the Quran, but the opposite is taught and practiced by Muhammad, early Muslim companion, Muslim believers in the last 1400 years, and Muslim believers of today and tomorrow. So, go ahead.
Okay, so I put in here, why did Jehovah, the God who delivered Israel from Egypt, give them 10 commandments? Because I think when we talk about the 10 commandments,
Sure.
You know, you might as well talk about why God asked, why God gave them to him.
It makes sense. If you want, if you want to give me something, give me a reason why you give me. Why Allah give the Muslim the Quran so they can memorize it, not to understand it, so they can use some of its verses to pray, but not to understand it, so they can practice its savage teaching. Not to understand it, just do it. Why God in the Bible, capital G-O-D, gave the children of Israel 10 commandments? Go ahead, bro.
This is from Exodus 19, verses 3 to 5. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountains, saying, thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. All the earth is mine. Yeah.
Maybe that's why Allah in the Quran told Muhammad, if you believe that Allah is God, that the people of Israel, God chose the people. Allah favors them above all the people. Why? Because those are the people who hear the voice of God. Those are the people who keep the covenant of God. Those are special people. God chose the people. That's why Allah in the Quran taught Muhammad and the Muslim believers that these are the people of the book. These are the people of the prophets. These are the people of the prophets. The prophet has belonged to Israel, not to Muhammad, the Arab, the bad one. No. To the children of Israel. I did not say that. Allah says that in the Quran. So the covenant was given to guide the children of Israel. It is the law to live by. Wow. And I say again, wow. If the world today will practice the Ten Commandments, first of all, Islam will disappear. And all the people of earth are going to worship the God of the Bible.
It's not because they're forced either.
No. I'm saying, just teach the Ten Commandments. You know why the liberals in America, the Democrats, hate the Ten Commandments? Because they're immoral. Because they're garbage, savage people. Wicked like any Muslim. Muslim hate the Ten Commandments, and Democrats hate the Ten Commandments. Oh, the team Satan. Remember? There's team Jesus and there's team Satan. Which one are you? What team are you in? We have not even talked about the Ten Commandments. We're just talking about it. It's the God's law, which is a covenant between God and the children of Israel. If you live by it, if you practice it, they will be special. They will be particular people.
Peculiar.
Peculiar people. And they're going to be God's chosen people whom he's going to bless. Keep going.
Okay. And then we have chapter 19, 7 and 8. And Moses came and called for their elders of the people and laid before their faces all of these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord.
Not the order in the life of the Jewish people. God speaks to Moses, Moses speaks to the elders, and the elders spoke to the people. So what did the people say? Amen. That's exactly what they said, Crispy. Whatever the Lord says, that's exactly what we're going to do. Amen to every command. Amen so we can keep the covenant. Amen so we can live to please him. That is the word of God.
So I wanted to share this. This is where I got the rest of this stuff from that I'm going to be sharing. Ten Commandments. And this is an example of Dawah, but we're going to tear it apart.
Sure.
All right. So the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. It comes from Exodus 20, verse 3, or Deuteronomy 5, 7.
What a wonderful commandment. What a wonderful command. It is the foundation of the Jewish faith. It is the foundation of the Christian faith that you shall have no other gods before me. I am a jealous God. I am first. I am the only God who you worship and the only God you believe in. Now, do Muslims believe in that? Do Muslims worship Jehovah? Can we read in the Quran, say, Jehovah says, Yahweh says? What do we know about Jehovah in the Quran? Here's the Quran, Brother Paul. Do we see Jehovah anywhere in the book?
No.
So you mean the God of Moses is not here?
Well, that's kind of what I have in this next feed, on this next slide. They're saying it's in the Quran. It says, "You shall not take any god except one god." Well, I mean, let's talk about that.
You know how oxymoron the statement, there is no god except one god.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it's not even accurate. The commandment says, "You shall have no other gods before me."
When you say there is no god except God, that is ignorant talk, ignorant speaking. You know why? Because there are plenty of God. As a matter of fact, anything you put first in your life, it becomes your God.
Yes.
If you put golf as a game before God on Sunday, the day of worship where you're supposed to be with your family in church, and you go play golf or you go do fishing, because some people, Sister Christie, worship God in the green. Or some Christian like worship God in the ocean as he catch the fish. When you do that fish you're catching, that golf ball which go in the hole in the ground, become your almighty God. There's no such a thing, there's no God except one God. That's a dumb statement. Muslims should say, there is no God, small g, except Allah. This is the true way of to say it. There is no small God, g, except Allah. Because now you're confessing to me, there is no God except one God. Wait a minute, what about other gods? The plenty of God.
And it's the underlying question. Are they even talking about the same God? Are Allah and Yahweh even the same God? And they're trying to equate it without even asking that question.
Yeah, we're going to answer that question in this. Trust me. Sister Christie, how many years ago when we put this presentation together, Christie?
I think it's been at least probably what?
6-7 years?
Yeah, I was going to say about 7 years ago.
7 years ago, Christy, I went to the Christy, and I believe somebody else was helping me with this presentation. I can't remember who it is now. Maybe Brother Rick.
I don't know if Rick was helping you, but I know the pastor, Chris,
was helping. I got a phone call from a new brother. His name is Chris. And that brother was inspired by the Spirit of God to put on his, this sign in front of the church. What do you call it?
Bulletin board or whatever. Yeah, sign.
When you put 60 letters together to make words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he put there, the Lord said, when you go to church this morning, put, Allah is Satan, Jesus is God.
Yeah.
And he did. Uh-huh. And after he did, Brother Paul, some Muslims in the community complained. Yeah. And the media helped the Muslims to complain. I love it. I can say any day in America, Christy Johnson, any day in America, Jesus is not God. Jesus is a good prophet, a good teacher, and a good man. And not one church will complain, and for sure not one media will complain. I will deny the deity of Christ anywhere in America, in front of the White House, in Congress, in Senate, any building, any government building, any stadium. I can do it 24/7 every part of America. And I will never hear one idiot Christian complain or one media complain. But the moment Pastor Chris was on the sign, Allah is Satan, Jesus God, the Muslims complain, and the media helps them to complain. So Brother Chris, give me a call. From Usama? Yes? Muslims? Want me to take the sign down? Moses said, if I don't take the sign down, they're going to come and debate me on the topic. And I said, praise God, man. You got the Muslims to come to your house to debate you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Bring them over. He said, Brother Usama, I'm not really equipped to debate Muslims. I said, just bring them over. I will be there. I promise I'll be there. I said, he said, when? I said, as soon as you can, next week or the following week. So he called him. And he said to them, okay, we'll do a debate, come to my church, and we're going to prove to you that Allah is Satan and Jesus is God. The people who were so mad at him, Paul, and so angry at him, and how dare you to put the sign, and said, well, it is Christmas. It is very nice to do that in Christmas, as we believe in Prophet Easter, the baby Easter in the cradle, you know, and actually Dawn was born under a palm tree. Somehow Muhammad got the story wrong. I don't know where he got the story from. But anyway, and then we wait up the Christmas, and Father Chris called me.
No,
I got a message.
We pushed it ahead of Christmas.
Whatever they said, they don't want to do it.
Yeah, they didn't want to do it. That was their excuse. So you moved it ahead.
So I told Brother Paul, you tell them Allah's table will be there.
Yes.
And the chairs will be around it. And Jesus' table will be here. And I will be sitting on it. If nobody show up, that's your problem. Because the media is going to be here. And we're going to do this with or without you. Thank you. Goodbye. Well, these are the people who are coming all the way from Georgia to debate Brother Chris, Pastor Chris, in his church in Mississippi. They come all the way from Georgia to Mississippi because they don't have one good Muslim in Mississippi. Well, three Muslim gentlemen decided to take the fight. And we did the debate. Praise God, Brother... what's his name?
Dawood.
Dawood Salama.
Yes.
Who is the educated one? To be honest with you, he was so smart compared to the other two Muslim guys. He came, the three of them came, and I was there. And we talked about, here's what the Quran teach about Allah. And by the way, here's what the Quran teach about Satan. And since we discovered that Allah and Satan are the same, therefore we come to the conclusion that Allah is Satan.
I want to correct one thing that you missed about this. These guys were going to come all the way from Georgia, and that's when they came up with the excuse about Christmas. Oh, we can't do that. They, who started this whole thing, did not come, but there were some local Muslims who were like embarrassed that nobody was going to show up and defend Islam. So they came in. Dad, remember?
It was perfect time. You know what, Christy? Praise God that the Muslim God did not came from Georgia, because as they came, they were left Muslims. But at least the three guys who defeat me from local Mississippi, the leaders of them, Brother Dawood, became a Christian.
Yes, that was
awesome. And now he's a believer in Jesus Christ, because we just found out that Muslims broke the first covenant in the Ten Commandments, that not to take any other god, not to put any other god before God. So,
that was awesome.
Take any other god. So, Brother Paul, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen with you guys. Look at this PowerPoint presentation. Hopefully my screen will work, and we'll be able to share this together. And here is our PowerPoint presentation. I don't see, where is the place where you put this down?
When you go to hit share on the bottom, there's a box.
It's not there, brother. It's not there. It doesn't matter. We're just going to have fun tonight with this one here, and we'll see. Allah is Satan, and Jesus is God. Because in reality, my friends, as I shared with you last week about the other meeting I have with the other brother, the guy who married a Muslim lady, if Jesus is God, then Allah is Satan. And if Allah is God, that means Jesus is Satan. Let me say it again. If Allah is Satan, if Jesus is God, for sure Allah is Satan. Because Allah denies the deity of Jesus Christ. But if Allah is God, as Muslims claim, therefore we have to know that Jesus was a demon possessed. Jesus was 100% Satan. Allah and Jesus, both cannot be right.
Exactly.
One is right, the other one 100% wrong. So he has to make up a decision. Allah is God or Jesus God? If you believe Allah is God, then the conclusion Jesus is from the devil. If you believe Jesus is God, then we know for sure Allah is the devil. Amen to that?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's move on. Here's the video. Here's the sign on the church in the Mississippi, and if you see, look at Allah is God, Jesus God, Allah is Satan, and then he talks Joshua 24:15, which obviously says, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, can you read the passage for me, Christy, if you don't mind?
Sure. Give me
and
some
you don't have your Bible. Just get a Bible, sister. Get
well,
Bible.
I'm...
What do they have there?
Joshua 24.
I'm sorry, Paul. I'm still moving, so I don't have anything here.
I
you
it, so
you
I,
got it, Paul. Go.
I'll have it the second.
Oh.
Joshua
24. 16.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Or 15.
What was Joshua 24 what?
15.
15, thank
yes.
you. All right, Joshua 24:15. And it seems, if it seem evil unto you, to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
You know, when I read that verse years ago, I never got it, Christy. Well, I read the verse and I saw the Joshua, it says the children of Israel, if you want to worship the gods of this world, go ahead, but I will serve the God of the Bible. The God who gave us the first commandment in the Ten Commandments, okay? But the thing is, one more time, if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, if you don't like to serve the Lord, Jehovah, okay? So choose this day who you want to serve. Which one? Listen, the God whom your fathers worship in Iraq or the God or the people who worship in this land. Wow. Let me say it again. If you don't like to worship Jesus Christ as God Almighty, choose this day one of the other two wrong, evil gods. The gods of Iraq or the gods of the Amorites. He didn't give him a choice to worship the God of the Bible. You don't like the God of the Bible? You're going to choose one of the other two evil gods. Which means, by the way, there is other gods. It just is not the true God. When Allah says, there is no God except Allah, that's wrong. There are plenty of gods. Let me put it this way. If I would choose to eat a sandwich and worship it, that sandwich become a God. If I love my wife or my mother or my son or my daughter or somebody more than God, these family members become my God. Anything you put before God, become your God. There are plenty of gods around in this world. But Joshua is telling the people, follow here. If you don't like to worship the gods of the Bible, choose one of the wrong two. The gods of Iraq or the gods of the Amorites. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's exactly the message of that board you see here in front of the church. Now let's see how the media took that. I hope you can hear the sound.
You gotta boost it.
Turn it
you
up.
Can't hear it?
Can't hear it.
Turn it up.
That went from a job to a social media post to being a part of y'all's religious community.
Well, I felt that it was slanderous and I felt that it was an hateful message. Because that in time we've never
tried to put this on a speaker, allow the speaker here. And I'm not sure if this is going to work or not, but I'll do my best.
I'm adjusting the sound. I'm sorry.
Were you able to hear anything at all or no voice at all?
It was very low to me, Usama, but I turned my volume way up. But then when you talked, it got really loud. So the sound is there, just wasn't very loud. Paul, are you muted? You're muted, Paul.
The joy of live broadcasting, you never know what's going to happen.
That's okay. They know we're for real. If we were perfect, they'd never believe that we were real.
Well, Usama has possible big opportunities coming up, and we're just waiting to see. So God is doing some great things. So keep Usama in,
did,
in prayer.
Did we lose Usama completely? He just got off the screen for a minute.
Oh, no, he's here
yeah.
still.
Okay.
He's adjusting things.
Okay, that's
so
awesome. Well, I can just give you a little more background on this. This became a big news story in the local community. That's why he's showing you the video. And the fact that we ended up with someone who was Muslim becoming a Christian, it demonstrates that point we were talking about. Exposing the truth about Islam literally can lead someone to ponder the validity of Islam and hopefully, as they hear the gospel, be drawn.
Amen.
To accept Christ.
That's
yeah.
right. That's right now. Let's see if you can hear it.
All right.
Can you hear me first?
Yes.
I can hear you. You need to go back to sharing it.
All right. Here we go. Just a minute. I'm going to share here. 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 And he walks with me. And he talks with me. 3-4 steps. You know what? You think about me. Know how to do that. That's like a miracle, man.
It
I never
is.
Thought right. I can do anything like that. So here we go. Let's share it. And hopefully you can hear it this time.
The word Jesus is God, Allah is Satan, quoted with a Bible scripture, can be seen on a marquee outside of Cowan Road Baptist Church. Now those in the Muslim community are speaking out on what they feel is a religious attack.
How did that make you feel hearing that news? That went from a dog to a social media post to being a part of y'all's religious community.
Well, I felt that it was slanderous, and I felt that it was a hateful message. Because at any time, we've never slandered anything that Christians on the coast do.
Did you hear it?
Yes.
Good. I'm sorry. That's a lie.
How did you feel about that? By the way, the gentleman who sits next to this guy is the one I defeated who became a Christian.
Oh, praise God. I just think it's such a lie because they keep saying Jesus isn't God. That's slander.
Exactly. You got the word out of my tongue, Paul. When Muslims say that we never slander Christianity, excuse me, you say it 3,000 times every day of our life, the last 1,400 years, Jesus is not God. That's a slander. So it's okay for you to say Jesus is not God. It's not okay for me to say Allah is Satan. It is reality. If Jesus is not God, that means Allah is God. And I say it again. And if Jesus is God, that means Allah is Satan. This is logic. That's common.
It's worse. It's worse. They tell us he never rose from the dead. He never died. And he was never crucified. They tell us he never rose from the dead.
Everything about Christianity is false, brother Paul. Everything about Christianity is false. So here's what I'm going to do. And I say Allah is Satan. Why do I say Allah is Satan? Because I'm a bigot. Or because I'm a Islamophobe. Or because I'm Hindu. Or because I'm ignorant of the Arabic language. Because I love it. I'm Muslim. I say Allah is the word Christian used in the Bible, in the Arabic language, for God. So for you, some of that to say Allah is Satan, he's actually insulting the God of the Bible. Excuse me. Think carefully. Allah is the word God. Remember, there are plenty of God in the world. In the Bible, your Bible, you open it, you see God, God, and the Bible named many gods. Even in Islam, we know that when Muhammad was alive in Mecca, there were 360 gods in the Kaaba. The word Allah, the word Allah is a title. That's not the name of God. It is a title, and it is the word God in the Arabic language. A title like Mr., like Senator, like Doctor, like President, is not the name of God in any language, especially in the Arabic. It's not the name of God in the Quran. Because Allah in the Quran, guess what? He has 99 names. Some of them have been abrogated, as we talked about today at the beginning of our study. Because Allah is no longer merciful. I thought one of the attributes of Allah in the Quran is Allah the merciful. Look, take that title goodbye. Allah lost it. Why? Because he's no longer merciful. He was merciful when he was weak. But when he became strong, he's no longer merciful. He's a savage God. Now, I say Allah is Satan, even though we Christians use the word Allah or God in the Bible, because when we talk about the God of the Christian, we know that that God is a loving God. How do I know God loved me? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sin. In Arabic language, yes, yes, yes. See, in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, in the Arabic language, it says, لَأَنَّهُ هَكَذَا حَبَّ اللَّهُ الْعَالَمُ حَتَّى بَدَلَ إِبْنَهُ الْوَحِيدُ لِكَيْ لَا يَهْلَكَ كُلِّ مَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِهِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُ حَيَاةٌ أَبَدِيَّةٌ. In English, for God, Allah, so love the world. That's not Muhammad, Allah. There's no Allah love there. Unless you're fighting a battle for him, Allah loves those who engage in war for his sake. But not Allah loves the world. Allah hates the Christians. Allah hates the Jew. Allah hates the evangelist. It's all over the Quran. Not in my Bible. My Allah, the God of the Christian faith, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Wait a minute. Allah has no son. That is the Allah of Muhammad. But the Allah of the Christian faith, the Allah of the Arabic speakers, he have a son. His name is Jesus Christ. And Allah loved me so much, he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sin. And by the way, that Allah also have a third person. His name is the Holy Spirit. So Christian Allah is a triune. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Muslim Allah is absolute someone, like a solid piece of rock. No emptiness in him. No holes in him. He does not have a stomach to eat and drink. Okay? So when we say Allah is Satan, I'm not talking about Allah, the God of the Bible. I'm talking about Allah, the God of Muhammad. The one with the 99 names who lost some of them. Why do I say Allah is Satan? It's very simple. Because
the description of Allah and the description of Satan.
When I look at how Allah described himself in the Quran and how Allah described Satan in the Quran, well, guess what? It's the same description. If Allah describes Satan and Allah described Allah in the Quran with the same description, what do you think is the conclusion, Sister Christie?
That they are same.
Oh, Allah is Satan. Okay, let's go to the next one.
The acts of Allah and the acts of Satan.
So I studied the acts of Allah, how Allah acts in the Quran and how Satan acts in the Quran. And surprise, surprise, Brother Paul, I discovered that the act of Allah in the Quran is 100% the same, the acts of Satan. So if the act of Allah in the Quran is the same as the act of Satan in the Quran, Brother Paul, what is the conclusion?
Well, I guess that makes Allah Satan.
Oh, thank you so much. Let's move on to the next one. The revelation of Allah and the revelation of Satan. Surprise, surprise. We're going to make it very narrow here. Allah revealed to Muhammad in the Quran and Satan revealed to Muhammad in the Quran. That revelation of Allah in the Quran is equal to revelation of Muhammad in the Quran. And if that is the case, Christy Johnson, what is the conclusion?
Well, that Allah is Satan.
Allah is a good. You're
the revelation of Allah and the revelation of Satan.
That's the last one here for you, Brother Paul.
The laws of Allah and the laws of Satan.
Surprise, surprise, Brother Paul. When you study the Quran and you study Sharia, the Islamic law, that is what we have here in that book. Thanks to the good Muslims who translated that book to us in English. Sadly, most Americans did not bother to read it because they couldn't.
Buy this book.
This is my favorite book. Hamamim clerk. That guy translated that book. It's over, how many pages? Let me look. Over 1,200 pages. And the stupid American did not bother to read it. And when I tell the American people about what's in it, they call me a hate monger. What a stupid American. Before you attack Usama Dakdok, before you attack the TV ministry, Christy or Paul or anyone would be sitting with me in front of this camera, don't you dare do anything besides just reading that book. Read the Quran, read the book, and then don't forget, apologize to us and ask for kissing in our hands or our feet. We're not going to let you kiss our feet or our hands. But we're just going to tell you, upfront, don't be fooled. Don't be stupid attacking us before you know the real Islam. Unless you're a good Muslim pretending to be ignorant of Islam or pretending to be a Christian or an American. Anyway, so here we go. The laws of Allah from the Quran, in the Quran, is perfect match to the laws of Satan, which brings us to the conclusion, which is?
Well, that would make Allah the very, very name of Satan.
Oh, thank you so much. You're a good man. Okay, now, I can end this study with Quran chapter 1, verse 1. You don't have to go far away than that, man. First chapter, first verse. Can you imagine that? First chapter, first verse. And it says what? The praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world. First of all, when you look here under this verse, so many non-Arabic words in the Quran. Even the word Allah is not an Arabic word. Imagine with me. I said earlier, the name Allah is the name for God in the Arabic. No, that is the word we use in the Arabic language. But it's not an Arabic word. Why? Because it's a non-Arabic word of Syriac Hebrew origin. God. The word Allah is not Arabic. But trust me, if you say it to the Muslims, they laugh at you. You're stupid. Of course Allah is an Arabic word. That's the name of God in the Quran. Muhammad God means 279 words from Syriac, Hebrew, Latin, Coptic, some Greek words, all over the Quran. One of them is Allah, because actually Elohim is the right word for God. It's a Hebrew word. Okay, now, the word Rabb, the word Lord, non-Arabic word, Aramaic, Syriac origin. World, Alameen, is non-Arabic word, Aramaic, Hebrew. So here we go. Chapter 1, verse 1 of the Quran, we got four non-Arabic words. Allah, Lord, and word. Actually, three. I apologize. Three, not four. Why I'm counting four. Now, the point what I'm trying to share is this. Allah, the God of Muhammad, is the Lord of the world.
The praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds.
2 Corinthians 4:4 says what?
Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them.
Who is the God the Apostle Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 4:4? The God of this world. Who is he? Satan. Allah, the God of Muhammad, the God of this world, is Satan. Why? Because the Bible says the God of this world is Satan. Thank you. Quran chapter 1, verse 1, in my proof to that Allah is Satan. But that's not what I want to share with you, really. Let's just say hello to you. Okay? Let's start talking about Allah, the God of Muhammad. I love it when you see that Allah in the Quran describes himself to be mutakabbir. But also we know in the Quran that ash-shaytan mutakabbir, which means what? We're talking about
the proud.
Allah is proud and Satan is proud. How do you like that, Mr. Johnson? Allah described himself with the same description of Satan. Some people maybe think I'm making it up. No, we got the verses of the Quran to prove it. So here we go. Quran chapter 59, verse 23. Listen carefully.
He is Allah. There is no God except him. The king, the holy, the peace, the faithful, the guardian, the dear, the powerful, the proud.
Oh! The proud, the plaintive names I told you about Allah, the Quran, 99 of them. But the beauty about that verse here, 59:23, I found that Allah said about himself, he. Why Allah speaking to serpents, I have no idea, but that's okay. But he is what? He is the proud. Allah is proud. Let's continue. Quran, chapter 16 and verse 23. Listen carefully. Once again, these are very important verses. To learn about the prideful Allah, the God of Muhammad.
No doubt that Allah knows what they hide and what they reveal. Surely he does not love the proud.
Wait a minute. Allah hates the proud? I thought Allah is the proud. And Allah hates the proud? You mean Allah hates himself for the fall?
I think he's disgusted that anybody else could be proud like he is.
So, but Allah hates the proud. And Allah is the proud. conclusion, Allah hates himself. Let's talk about Satan in the Quran. Here we go. Quran chapter 2 and verse 34.
And then he said to the angels, host you do to Adam, so they all worshipped except Iblis. He refused and became proud, and he was among the infidels.
There's so much nonsense in that verse. I don't have time to talk about it, not tonight, not even in the next couple of weeks, okay? But let's get to the bottom line. Satan what? It become what? Proud. Satan refused to worship Adam, and he became proud. Allah is the proud, and Satan is proud. What is the conclusion, Sister Christie?
Satan and Allah are proud. They're the same.
They're both proud. Good, 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 good. How about Quran chapter 7 and verse 15?
He said, so get down from it, so it was not for you to be proud in it. So get out. Surely you are of the lowly.
So Allah cast Satan from heaven to earth because Satan refused to worship Adam in heaven, and there is no room for any proud to be in heaven. That's why Allah cast Satan to earth. The whole story is wrong. Muhammad got the whole story is wrong. Adam would never set a foot in heaven. Adam living in the Garden of Eden in Iraq. You know the river of Dayla and Frat right now in Iraq? These are two of the four rivers used to be in Iraq. The other two was washed in the flood of Noah. Adam never set a foot physically in the Garden of Heaven, as Muhammad claims. And by the way, Satan was already cast out of heaven before Adam ever was sin against God. As I said, it's a long study for a long time, some other time. But here we go. Allah cast Satan out of heaven because he was proud. And there is no room for any proud person to be in heaven. I think I can come with a weird conclusion here, extreme conclusion. Allah could not stay in heaven because there is no room for any proud person in heaven. That's just my conclusion. Okay, let's continue. Let's continue with the proud. Quran chapter 16 and verse 29.
So enter the doors of hell, abide in it forever. So evil is the dwelling place for the proud.
Oh, brother Paul, I was right. You know where the proud in? The proud in hell. Enter the doors of hell. Why? Because that is the place of the proud. And we found out earlier that Allah is the proud, and Allah hates the proud. Therefore, Allah hates himself. And now we know for sure where Allah is going to spend his eternity, in hell. So who is Allah?
Satan.
Yeah, he's proclaiming himself pretty well here, even in the Quran.
It's amazing.
I'm just reading the verses of the Quran, by the way.
Yeah, we haven't even got to the Bible.
Now, let's talk about Quran chapter 39 and verse 60. Listen carefully how Allah is describing what we have in that verse.
And on the resurrection day, you will see those who lied against Allah, and their faces are blackened. Is there not a dwelling for the proud in hell?
Yes, indeed. All the proud will be in hell, including Allah, the proud. How about the God of the Bible? Do you want to know the true God of the Bible? It is what is written in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29 is what the God of the Bible, how the God of the Bible describes himself.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul.
You know what meek means, Brother Paul?
Yes, meek is it's not proud, it's the opposite. Humble is the best way to put it.
Humble. So the God of the Bible is humble, but Allah is the proud.
It sounds like an opposite to me.
Exactly. So, let's move on. Al-fitna min Allah wa shaitan. The word fitna in the English language is the word sedition. Okay? So Allah here is the seditionist. Are you ready?
The seditionist.
Here we go. Allah in Quran chapter 25 and verse 20. Quran chapter 25 and verse 20. Let's learn about Allah.
And we did not send before you of the messengers, except surely they ate food and walked in the streets. And we made some of you to be a sedition to some others. Will you be patient? And your Lord was seeing.
Allah did what? We made some of you to be sedition. Who made this? Who is we here? That's not Satan, my friend. That's Allah. Allah is telling us, we, Allah, made some of you to be a sedition to some others. So how can you describe Allah here, Brother Paul, except as seditionist? That's who he is. That's the work of his hand. This is his action in the life of the people. Let's move to another verse, 22:53.
So he made what Satan casts a sedition to those who have sickness in their hearts and those who their hearts are hardened, and surely the unjust are in far opposition.
Can you imagine? When Allah is actually teaching us in the Quran that he made what Satan casts a sedition, this happened with the will of Allah, the work of Allah in the Quran.
The work of Allah is equated with Satan.
Exactly. Now let me share with you what Satan does in the Quran. Notice, so far I'm not going to use the Bible and maybe quote the verse of God is humble, because that's true. He's meek. He's humble. But I'm going to be talking Quran, the Quran, Allah and Satan in the Quran. So here we go. Quran chapter 7 and verse 27. Let's learn about Satan. Not Allah. Satan in the Quran.
O children of Adam, do not let Satan seduce you as he got your parents out of the garden by taking their clothes off to show them their private parts. Surely he sees you, he and his host, from where you cannot see them. Surely we have made the Satan's friends to those who do not believe.
So since Allah is we here. But what I love is Satan seduced Adam and Eve. Satan, do not let Satan seduce you as he seduced your father and your mother. How did Satan seduce them? Oh, he said, Eve. She said, yes. He said, do you know what you have under your dress? She said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, there, you know, down there, you know, down in your private part. So he took her clothes off, and she looked, oh, my God, I have something here. So she figured out that she had a private part. Okay? Adam, yeah? Do you know what you have down there where your pants, you know, under your pants? Take your pants off. Just let me show you something. Something you never know about it. Adam, so Satan took his pants out, opened his zipper door. Oh, look at this, Adam. Now you see, you got a penis. You're a man, Adam. So that's how Satan seduced Adam and Eve. Takes their clothes off, so he shows them their private parts. Man, logic. I love the Quran. It is the perfect word of Allah. It's the miracle of Islam. Now I know, ladies and gentlemen, how Mama Eve knows that she's a lady. I wish a Democrat can figure this out, because they have no idea whether it is a lady or a woman. But that's okay. We need Satan to help the Democrats to understand what woman is and what man is. Penis is a man, vagina is a lady. That's something the Democrats need to learn. But praise Allah in the Quran, praise Muhammad, praise the truth. That's how Adam and Eve were deceived, and that's how they figured out that they are a man and a woman. Wow. Praise Allah. Oh, mashallah, mashallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Stupidity or stupid. The Quran is stupidity for stupid. Keep reading the Quran and keep believing the perfect word of Allah. It is done. The Bible clearly taught that they were naked. They didn't have any clothes. So obviously Adam went pee one time and he found he had a penis. And Eve did the same thing. Dumb for dumber. Your Allah is Satan dumb, right? You dumb for you, dumber Muslim. But somehow, now we find out that Satan is seducer. Why? He seduced Adam and Eve. And Allah is giving advice to the children of Adam. Don't let him seduce you like he seduced your mama and your papa. Good, good. I thought Allah is a seducer. And now you're telling me Satan is a seducer? So can you tell me, Brother Paul, what is the difference between Allah and Satan?
It sounds like they do the same job. Allah is Satan is what we're seeing here.
Okay, thank you so much. I thought maybe I got it wrong, man. I want to concentrate here to get my points through. Okay, Al-Huwaya. Al-Huwaya min Allah, wal-Huwaya min al-Shaytan. The word Huwaya in the Arabic language, which is another word for seduction. It's seducers. It is. We use different words in Arabic that have the same meaning. So, but I have to cover all my bases, so I give you the word fitna and the word Huwaya, similar word, a in English has the same meaning in Arabic in different words. Okay, well, let's see about Allah.
The seducer.
Okay, let's go see Allah the seducer. Quran chapter 11 and verse 34.
And my advice will not profit you. If I desire to advise you, if Allah was desiring to seduce you, He is your Lord, and to Him that you will return.
In Allah, Allah, and Yahweh come here. Yahweh is Ghuwaya, Yahweh is seduced. So what do we have here? The Prophet of Allah is telling the people that if Allah desires to seduce you, I cannot help you. Allah seduces people. Allah Yahweh people. Are you out of your mind? Is it the God you're worshiping? And you believe you hold the first commandment? You're worshiping Satan, my friend. The seducer. The one who seduced people. Let's go to another verse here. Quran chapter 15, verse 69 to see. That is the job of Satan, not the job of Allah. You know what, Brother Paul, Sister Christine? You can read this verse backwards for some moments. So you're going to read Quran chapter 11, verse 34, and see. Look what Satan said here. He will seduce you. See, yeah, that's Satan. And you can go to Quran chapter 15, verse 39, and see. Allah here says that, oh, yeah. They will not know the difference. Even though one of them for Allah, which is 11:34, and the other one for Satan, 15:39. Here's what Allah said in 15:39.
He said, my Lord, because you seduce me, I will surely adorn to them on earth, and I will surely seduce all of them.
Wait a minute. You know who's speaking here? Satan, speaking to Allah. And in one verse, Brother Paul, Sister Christy, in one verse we'll find out that Allah and Satan do the same thing. I don't even have to read two separate verses of the Quran. One verse. Allah seduced Satan. And Satan would seduce them. Who? Them. All the people. All the descendants of Adam and Eve. How did Allah seduce Satan? That's a good question. Yeah. He told him to worship Adam. He knows he is not supposed to worship Adam because he's supposed to worship Allah alone. Somehow Allah is confused. In one place in the Quran, he was proud. Another place, he was doing the right thing because obviously if I tell you to do the wrong things and you don't do it, you're a good person. So Satan somehow here was a good guy. He's a good angel. Why? Because he will not worship Adam because he knows very well that he's only supposed to worship Allah. But because he disobeyed Allah by not doing the wrong thing, which is worshiping Adam, Allah causes him to get out of the heaven. Wow. You do the right thing and you're going to be punished for it, Brother Paul, because simply you disobey the boss order. Allah the boss orders Satan to worship Adam. Satan knows he's not supposed to worship Adam because he's supposed to worship Allah alone. And Satan did the right thing, and by doing the right thing, he disobeyed Allah. And because he disobeyed Allah, Allah cast him out of heaven to the earth. So Allah seduced Satan. And because Satan was a little bit upset about it, he made a deal with Allah. Because you seduce me, I will surely adore to them on earth, and I will surely seduce all of them. Not all of them, because here's another exception in the following verse, Quran chapter 38, verses 82 and 83. Listen how Satan changed his words in the Quran.
He said, so I swear by your honor, surely I will seduce all of them, except your faithful servants among them.
Wait a minute. Is it all of them or all of them except? That's a question for my dear Muslim to think about. Somehow Muhammad forgot to put the exception in Quran chapter 15, verse 39. But the beauty of these verses is this. Allah seduced and Satan seduced. And if Allah, Christy Johnson, if Allah and Satan both seduced, what is the difference between Allah and Satan?
They seem like they're the same.
It sounds like they're working as a team.
A team. Actually, they're working. You're going to see them working together, man. Watch. You give me a good idea here. Al-Rajas. Al-Rajas min Allah wa al-Rajas min al-Shaytan. Now, the word al-Rajas is actually unclean. It is the abomination. Al-Rajas. It's a bad description. But guess what? We'll find it in Allah and we'll find it in Satan. Where? In the Quran. Here we go.
The abominable. Unclean.
Quran chapter 10, verse 100. That's easy to remember. Sing 100. Quran chapter 10, verse 100. Hear what Allah said.
And it was not for a soul to believe except by Allah's permission. And he will lay the uncleanliness on those who did not understand.
Allah lay rajas, uncleanliness on those who will not understand. He means, I want to believe, but Allah said, I don't want you to believe, therefore you're not going to believe. But only Allah will allow me to believe because he's a real good God. Huh? Only he will not allow me to believe, but he will put uncleanliness on me. He put rajas on me. Oh, thank you, Allah, so much. That was awesome. Okay, think with me. The God you Muslim people worship does not want people to believe. Nobody will believe except by Allah's permission. What is Allah's permission? Some will not believe. Who said that? Allah. Where is the Quran? As a matter of fact, he created people. As you're going to see a little bit later, most probably. And not only he will not make me not to believe in him, he put uncleanness on me, dredges on me. Wow. Let's go to Quran chapter 6 and verse 125.
So whomever Allah desires to guide, he opens his chest to Islam. And whomever he desires to mislead, he will make his chest extremely narrow as though he is only ascending to the heavens. Likewise, Allah made the uncleanliness on those who do not believe.
I'm sorry. I'm out of words. We're going to talk about the misleader later. That verse here, you see the word mislead. But we have another description for Allah as the misleader. But what Allah does, if you want to make you a Muslim brother, he will open your chest and make you believe in Muhammad and become a good Muslim. But if not, he will put uncleanness on you. Why? Because you did not believe. But I want to believe. But he said, I don't want you to believe. That helps. So Allah put rajas, uncleanness on people whom he desired not to believe, or because they did not believe, and they did not believe because he desired for them not to believe. Allah Akbar. Let's talk about Muhammad teaching about Satan in the Quran. That's Quran chapter 5 and verse 90. 5:90.
O you who believe, surely the wine and the gambling and the idols and the divining arrows are an abomination of Satan's work. To avoid them, perhaps you may prosper.
The word abomination is rajas, uncleanliness. Satan's work is rajas. Allah's work in Quran 10:100, Quran 6:125 is rajas. Satan's work in 5:90, Quran 5:90 is rajas. What is the difference between Allah and Satan?
Wow. It sounds like Allah is they're not doing teamwork. It sounds like you can't mix them up.
You can't mix them up. So if you say, take Quran 5:90 and make it for Allah and say, Allah, I guess all you who have believed, surely the wine and the gamble and the idol and the fine arrows are an abomination of Allah's work. Can we say that? You have to understand, Paul. Paul, listen carefully,
yes.
Brother. Listen carefully. Allah does not want you to become a believer. I could
not.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, we've been reading that.
How Allah will make me a believer, he will tempt me with gambling and divine arrows and wine. When I get every night, when do you think I'm going to have time to search for Allah or to believe in Allah? If I want to believe in Allah, he says, no, you Usama, you're an infidel, you're not going to believe. Okay, so what are you going to do, Allah, to me? I will put rajas on you, uncleanness on you. Like what? I'm going to make you get drunk every night. Thank you, Allah. I appreciate that so much. Allah is Satan. All right, rajas. Not rajas, rajas. Different word. It is from Allah, and the rajas is from Satan. What is rajas? It is the word wrath. I know that the Bible talks about God is wrathful, but righteous wrathful is not evil wrathful of Allah and Satan in the Quran. Okay? Judgment of God will be on everyone justly. So when God burns Sodom and Gomorrah, it's not because that he's wrathful. God is so mean. So he decided to go ahead and burn Sodom and Gomorrh, five cities. burn it to the ground. No, he was patient. He was patient. He was patient. And he did not believe. He did not turn from the wicked way. And there is time for judgment. That is, God is wrathful. He punishes people. He punishes the whole earth. He flooded the whole earth. Not because he loved to see people drowning, but because people were living in sin. And he set the rules before the judgment came that the day you sin, you surely die. But let's talk about Allah and Muhammad.
The wrathful.
Quran chapter 2 and verse 59. Listen carefully. Righteous here, which is the word wrath. It's a non-Arabic word of certain origin, by the way. Another non-Arabic word. Plenty of non-Arabic words all over the Quran. Even though Muslims believe the Quran is pure Arabic. Yeah. Arabic, my point. Arabic, my point. Okay.
So those who were unjust changed the saying to what had not been said to them. So we sent down on those unjust ridges from the heaven because they were transgressors.
Allah sent wrath from heaven on the people because they changed the saying not to what had been sent to them. Man, I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, Allah left all the sinful behavior of all the people, including Muhammad's sinful behavior, and just he will send wrath from heaven on them because they changed words. I mean, it's a little bit exaggeration of Muhammad here about Allah, because he should probably do it for more sense than just sending, changing some words. But that's okay. Let's continue to chapter 7, verse 162. 7:162.
So the unjust among them replaced that word with another, not the same which had been said to them. So we sent a wrath over them from the heaven because they were unjust.
You changed the word. Muhammad committed adultery and they changed the word. Muhammad killed Christian Jews and they changed the word. Muhammad raped women and they changed the word. Muhammad stole and they changed the word. Muhammad lived in disobedience the whole entire Ten Commandments. And these people change the word, and Allah said, wrath from heaven over them, because they say a word, they say another word. I love it when you go read the interpretation of these verses by Moses scholars, where they disagree about what word they said and what word they don't say, and how they say it different by changing the pronouncement for heaven's sake. The Quran has many words, are different from one Quran to another Quran. One big lie, I've been taught all my life, one pure Arabic Quran, never changed from Muhammad days until today, word for word. Now we got 39 Quran, thousands and thousands and thousands of different words. Why Allah did not send his wrath over all the Muslims who are playing with the word of Allah in the Quran? Somebody answer my question. No. Allah here sent his wrath because it's in the word. Let's talk about Satan in the Quran. Satan in the Quran. Quran chapter 11, chapter 8. And verse 11. Quran chapter 8 and verse 11.
When sleep covers you, it is assurance from him, and he sent down water from the heaven on you to purify you by it and cause the wrath of Satan to pass from you, and that he might tie on your heart and strengthen it by your feet.
The wrath of Satan to be taken away from the Muslim believers. The wrath of Allah, the wrath of Satan. Allah is wrathful. Satan is wrathful. Conclusion, Allah is Satan. This is what the Quran says. I'm just reading the verses of the Quran. Now, this is a funny one here. This is funny. Remind me, Christy, with the time. I'm not sure what time it is now.
We're at 11:49. This is actually the time you usually start to show that video, the closing video.
I'm showing. Oh, okay. Never mind.
You know what we're going to do? Mm-hmm. We're going to stop here. We're going to stop here. Because this is a good study. I don't want to waste it and drop it off. Just remember, remind me, Christy, next time, please, that Allah forget and Satan forget. Can you write that down, Paul?
Sure.
Allah forget, Satan forget.
Because
we'll
forget, right?
They both have Alzheimer disease. So what I'm going to do, we're going to close our study here for the radio people. And I chat with our people here for a little bit. There's somebody have a cushion in our chat room. And we're going to continue this study, Lord willing, next week. So thanks for all those who are listening to us on our radio. Appreciate you. God bless you. And please listen carefully to the last one here, the uniqueness of Christianity.
tells me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets. A passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. Said the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. They're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet, it would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. You remember they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture, he will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the Messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver and who authenticated his messiahship by that. I've given you fulfilled prophecies. There are over 300 of them. Now, my friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it. But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously, and he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. Some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. To those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting God's standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by their good works, how are you doing? Oh, not bad. Oh, really? Not bad, huh? Oh, doing pretty good. Doing my best. Well, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now listen carefully, and you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall into the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. But when you find out you need a savior, the list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building, and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, save me. And I'm walking by and I say, oh, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness as a gift, a free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says, when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side, put your law on that side, and I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Is that what people are going to say? Oh, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top 5%, you know? Maybe they're going to get in if God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However, can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bills, and then he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own heart that you're a sinner and you need a savior, and you can't save yourself. And then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the savior of sinners. He came to save you. And if you will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And receive the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Say, oh God, I don't know why you want me. I'm damaged goods. But you said that whoever came to you, you would in no wise cast out. Take me now. Save me now. I give up. I'll accept the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen and amen to that.